train for the relationships you want. Not running, not other physical exercise, but real thought training. You see, inside of us is the power to achieve the life, the character, and the vision that we want. But in order to get that, to do that, it's time to train our minds, to shape our thoughts, our actions, to create the environment that is going to be conducive to this path. We got to prepare the soil. From good soil comes good produce. From bad soil comes bad produce. It's time to learn the path to success, the way of warrior. I personally believe we will never be in the relationships we want until we can figure out our identity, the person that we want to be. See, this person that we decide to be allows for those relationships to exist and prosper. You see, when we know who we are, then what to do is not as difficult. It's easier. And let's be honest. What if you got in some of those relationships that you want and you're not ready? You're not ready to be that person. You're not ready to do those things. You're not ready to create the environment that allows the other two to exist. And so if you're not ready to maximize the opportunity by being prepared, then what good is it? Remember, as a warrior, there are 6 P's of preparation. I learned these in the Army when I was 17 years old in 1983. Proper preparation prevents piss-poor performance. In order to fight the good fight, we got 3 other P's: to be peaceful, to be powerful, and to be present. And so to train for relationships that you want, first, we must realize that other people can have a diet that might not work for us. People are different. No 2 human beings are the same. We have many different qualities, different DNA, different fingerprints, different wants, different desires, different trauma, different drama. We must realize that nobody else is like us. So just because something works for somebody else does not mean it's going to work for everybody. Nobody else is made like you. Nobody else has your pain, your dreams, your desires. You are unique. So even though the pattern might be similar for each person, the details, the way forward is unique to you. I mean, there's a uniqueness of people. You realize it's not just our fingerprints. You realize not just our DNA, but there are many other body parts that are unique to every single human being. Did you know our iris, the ring-shaped membrane located behind the cornea of the eye, it's responsible for controlling how much light enters the eye? The color, the structure of the iris are determined by our DNA. But the pits, rifts, furrows, swirls of the iris are different in each individual. I've heard the venal pattern in the back of the iris is unique unto each person. Your ears, there's bumps, there's shapes, there's ridges of the outer ear. They are unique and they can differentiate a person from another person. According to biometrics expert Mark Nixon, studies have shown that nearly 99.6 accuracy when ears are scanned. How about your voice? The voice might be easy to detect, but there are unique factors determining its frequency and intensity. There are other ways to identify a person's voice, such as tightness, nasality, lip rounding, pronunciation, and that differs from person to person. Did you know your tongue, the size, the shape, that they differ from person to person, and it makes our tongue unique? Our tongue has small bumps. We have 10,000 taste buds, and each one of them are filled with microscopic hairs, microvilli. Your toes. The toes are another part of the body that can help in recognition of a person during the fetal development. The lines develop in the toes and the fingers at the same time. I think it's the 8th to 21st weeks. By the way, it's the same time your brain lobes come in, the lobes of your brain. You are unique. How about your gait? A person's gait, you know, the way they walk. No 2 people have the same walk, and gait is a very secure and reliable way to identify people. China has technology where they can film a mob without seeing a face in hoodies and robes, and they can tell who each person is based on their gait. How about your lips? Mwah. The pattern of wrinkles in your lips is as unique as your fingerprints. There's an actual special scientist, I think it's called, what is it? Kyloscopy. It studies the lip crease patterns. Isn't that incredible? Kyloscopy or kioscopy can be defined as a method of identification of a person's based on character arrangement of lines appearing on the red part of the lips. And of course, you know your teeth, right? Your dental records, seen too many CSIs, if they burn a body, they go to the dental records. Why does this matter? Because since the beginning of time, there has never been another person like you. Nobody has your smile, your eyes, your hands, your hair. Nobody owns your handwriting or your voice. In all of time, there has never been anyone who laughs in exactly your way. And what makes you laugh or cry or think may have a totally different response than another. You are only one in the whole of creation who has your particular set of abilities. We need to understand there's always going to be someone who might be better at one thing or another. Every person could be our superior in at least one way, but nobody in the universe can reach the quality and the combination of your talents, of your feelings. Throughout all of eternity, no one will ever walk, talk, think, or do exactly like you. You are rare. And in all rarity, there's enormous value. And because of your great value, the need for you to imitate anyone else or everyone else is absolutely wrong. You happen to be special, and it's no accident that you are. We must realize that God has made each of us for a special purpose. He has a job for you to do that no one else can do as well as you can. Out of the billions of applicants, only one is qualified. Only one has a unique and right combination of what it takes, and that one is you. And let us remember the immortal words of civil rights leader Benjamin Elijah Mays. It must be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goal. The tragedy of life lies in having no goal to reach. He says not failure, but low aim is sin. It isn't a calamity to die with dreams unfulfilled, but it is a calamity not to dream. Every man and woman is born in the world to do something unique, something distinctive, and if he or she does not do it, it will never be done. It isn't a disgrace not to reach the stars, but it is a disgrace to have no stars to reach for. We are 99.9% identical, 99.89, I think, is the actual figure. We have a world that wants us to tell us how different we are, and we are unique, but we are also very similar. We are 99.9% identical, but listen, that 0.1% makes all the difference in the world. Sharon Briggs, who's the senior scientist of applied genomics at Helix, and she said, quote, genetics have proven that you're unique, just like everyone else. You see the similarity and the difference? She made the statement in her opening and closing remarks. It's often said that humans are 99.9% identical, and what makes us unique is a measly 0.1%, 0.1% of our genome. Now, this may seem like it's no big deal, but what these declarations fail to point out that the human genome is made up of 3 billion base pairs, which means 0.1%, 0.1% is still equal to 3 million base pairs. And with each of these, we each carry these 3 billion base pairs of information inside of us with the potential to unravel a piece of the mystery that makes us all so fundamentally human. And at the end of the day, we are still more similar than we are different. And we are beginning to understand of how important our differences are. You were made by greatness for the purpose of greatness. And the time is now to fulfill the purpose that only you can fulfill. And here's the question. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? And there's another thing that is also unique about us and to our experience, and it's pain. John MacArthur, one of my favorite pastors, has this quote on pain. He says, you can exercise and sustain personal leadership only to the extent of your capacity to bear pain. If you can't bear your own pain, then you can't really lead. If you respond to and bear only the pain of your family, then your family represents the full scope of your leadership potential. If, however, by God's grace, you can recognize and bear the pain of those around you, then the breadth of your leadership potential is limited only by the scope of your burden and your capacity. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said this, believe me, every man has a secret sorrow, which the world knows not, and oftentimes we call a man cold when he's sad. See, this is such a differentiating factor in every human being. What do we do with pain? There's a proverb that says, pain creates a chasm for joy to fill up. What if our pain made us better instead of bitter? What if our pain created a chasm for joy to fill up? What if our pain gave us street cred? And what if all of our pain from our past, even though we wouldn't want to go back and relive it, It is now a gift, a blessing, a tool in our tool bag, something that gives us street cred to not only move through our pain, but others. And that's the thing. If we're going to live a significant life and have these relationships that we want to have, then we must be able, when people struggle, when people are in pain, to be able to walk in their pain. And if we have not processed our own pain, if we are still working overtime to keep our pain at a distance, pretending like we've got rid of it, then how can we help other people? C.S. Lewis said this, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. What are you going to do with your pain? As we move forward and you train yourself to have the relationships you desire, to be prepared, to be that person, to do those things, you've got to understand hurting people hurt people. You got to understand that any behavior reinforced with a positive outcome will repeat itself. What to do with our pain? Well, there's really only two choices. And those two choices will determine if you're ready for the relationships that you want this year. I'm going to tell you how to prepare so you can be that person. You can do those things and you can create the environment that allows you to create those relationships and live the life like it matters. As you move forward and you train yourself, you create the identity, the behavior, and the environment that allows those relationships to prosper, develop, and anything you want them. You must figure out what to do with the pain because it's part of the process. You can use it as a reason to hurt others, like a persecutor, or we can consciously make the choice to use our pain to help others in pain. We have walked a mile in pain's footsteps. We can have empathy, understanding, street credit. Pain has a purpose. Did you know an oyster that has not been wounded in any way does not, will not, cannot produce pearls? Have you ever thought about that? Consider a pearl is a healed wound. It has great value. Pearls are a product of pain, the result of a foreign or unwanted substance entering the oyster, such as a parasite or a grain of sand. The inside of an oyster shell is a shiny substance called, I think, nacre. I think that's how you pronounce it, N-A-C-R-E. And when a grain of sand enters, the nacre cells go to work and cover the grain of sand with layers and more layers of more layers. And what it does is protects the defenseless body of the oyster from that grain. And as a result, a beautiful pearl is formed. The more pearls, the more valuable an oyster is. Just like in our lives, we can fail forward. Just like in our lives, we can take the hurt, the brokenness, we can grow, we can learn, we can overcome. And that process allows us the ability to understand, to connect, to establish rapport. This allows us to train for the relationships that we want. Romans 8:28. Said, God causes all things to work for the good for those who love him are called according to his purpose. What do you think the sanctification process of life is for those of you that follow the God of the Bible? It is God taking all those things that aren't fair, all those things that maybe should have never happened, all those unjust things, and he uses them to make us more like Jesus. He's a good father. God would never allow us pain without a purpose. What if your greatest ministry to others, what if your greatest mission on this earth, what if your greatest significant living comes out of your greatest hurts or your deepest wounds? What if you could take your hurts, bruises, and scars and turn them into heart, body, and soul? The hard things we may be going through now are really nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us later. And this could help us have better relationships. It prepares us. It trains us. I remember I was reading Caroline Leaf, and she came with this term, I loved it, kintsugi. Kintsugi, and it means golden joinery. It refers to the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by mending the areas of breakage with lacquer dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. And then she goes on to talk about it as a philosophy. She says that it treats breakage and repair as part of the history of an object rather than something to disguise. See, in order to train for the relationships that you want, we need to become the person that would be in the relationships we want. We need to question ourselves, to examine ourselves, to be flexible, to have requisite variety. It means an element in a system with the most flexibility has the most freedom and the most control. That is who we are called to be. We are called to be that element. And it's about donning the identity of the person that you want to be for those relationships. And that person then has a certain behavior that allows them to respond well in those relationships. That's why something I say all the time is, as a warrior, we got to have the motto of Semper Gumby, right? Remember the Marines' motto, Semper Fi. Semper means always. Fi means fidelity. Always faithful. Semper Fi. But as a warrior, our motto should be Semper Gumby. Remember Gumby, the flexible character that always looked for a good outcome, always positive? That's us. Semper's always. Gumby is flexible. As a leader, we're supposed to be pliable. We're supposed to be always flexible. Semper Gumby. Are we doing what we need to be doing to be the person we want to be? What good is it to have those relationships, to stumble into them, and you're not properly trained, you're not prepared for the relationships you want? You've got to get your mind right. You've got to begin with the end in mind. You've got to use who we are and how we move. This is where we get emotionally involved. When you know who you are, you know why you're here, you can get emotionally involved. You bring the power source of the heart. If we are going to maximize the potential we were created with, then we must consider the following questions. We got to question ourselves. We got to be asking ourselves, what do I want? We got to ask ourselves, who am I? We got to ask ourselves, what behavior do I need to be doing to support the identity that I need to have to be in those relationships that I desire? How do I construct my environment for me to create a fire in my life? See, if we're going to create real change, then we need to understand that there are three things we must do to be our dreams. Want it, create it, live it. And let me explain each one of these steps. Want is about desire. It's about creative discontent. What do you want so bad that you're willing to risk looking like a fool? What do you want so bad that you want to step over the line? What do you want so bad that you're willing to identify who you need to be and then what you need to do and the environment you need to set up to have the relationships you desire? And so don't do anything unless you have a deep desire. Don't do anything unless you're stirred up. We should be the opposite of James Bond. Don't shake me, stir me. And once you're stirred up, once you have the desire, that creative discontent, then the second thing you must do to be your dreams is create it. In other words, begin with the end in mind. Remember Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? The question is, how do I want it all to end? See, we've got to make it real. The reason why most people don't accomplish goals, people say because they don't write them down. That's part of it. But the reason why most people don't accomplish their goals is because most people don't make them real, because most people don't believe they're possible, because nobody responds to reality. We respond to our map of reality. What is real? Real has the quantifications of experience. All experience is the 5 senses. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we smell, what we taste. What is real are things you can see. What is real are things you can touch. What is real are things you can hear. What is real are things you can smell and taste. You've got to make it real. Your unconscious mind, not your conscious mind, but your unconscious mind does not differentiate between Hollywood and reality. It does not define which pictures are true, which ones are not. I think I read in the Science Journal of Medicine a couple of years ago that 40% of first-term memories are lies. It could have been a dream. It could have been a lie you told yourself over and over that you started believing. It could have been something you heard so many times that you just thought it was true. It could have been a movie you saw, totally forgot. It's a picture in your unconscious mind. And so understanding that's how we work, we must use it to our advantage. I believe that when you can learn how to create pictures, words, and feelings in your mind's eye, it's the same skill set that you need to change those. And it was Aristotle said, an unexamined life is not worth living. Paul tells us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. God says if we examine ourselves, if we judge ourselves, he doesn't find the need to judge us. So as we're doing this visualization, beginning with the end in mind, what does that you look like, sound like, feel like, that is training for the relationships that you want? So here's some questions to ask ourselves. What does the type of person you want to be look like, sound like, act like? How does that person that you desire to be act? In other words, how do they treat other people? How do they handle problems? How do they move through conflict? What capabilities does that person have? What are they capable of doing or overcoming? That you that has the identity and the behavior and is in the environment that allows you to train for the relationships you want. And by the way, what type of environments does that type of person hang out in that you want to have those relationships with? What quality and caliber of people does that person associate with? What type of environments do you need to be in to meet the quality and caliber of people that you want to be in relationships with? What is the basic structure of beliefs of the people you want to be in the relationships you want? This is the key. These are basic questions. You will most likely find them around like-minded people. And so this is how you create it. You begin with the end in mind. And then once you know what you want, that desire's there, you've created it, you know, it looks like, sounds like, feel like, maybe even smells like, tastes like, now you just live it. You work the plan. The definition of power is action. Action equals power. Power equals action. And when we do this, in essence, we are creating fire, man. Have you ever noticed how once you start a fire, it goes on its own? And as it grows, it gets hotter and hotter and gets to where it can't be extinguished with a light source. So see, knowing how we work as human beings, we can create a burning fire that keeps going without much effort, and it'll be hard to extinguish. Well, four things must be present at the same time in order to produce a fire. First of all, you need enough oxygen to sustain combustion. Second, you need enough heat to raise the material to its ignition temperature. Third, you need some sort of fuel or combustible material. And then, chemical exothermic reaction, that is fire. Oxygen, heat, and fuel are frequently referred to as the fire triangle. Add in the fourth element, the chemical reaction, and you actually have a fire tetrahedron. Now, the important thing to remember is take any of these four things away and you will not have a fire, or the fire will be extinguished. And we can use that in our lives metaphorically, analogously. Essentially, fire extinguishers put out fire by taking away one or more elements of the fire triangle. We need to be aware of that as we build our own fire triangle with the three elements of environment, of behavior, and identity. And it is the belief system that is the igniter or the diffuser or the what do you call the exothermic chemical reaction. It's what we believe. It's our confidence. It's our willingness to follow through. It brings stability. It brings fire. Or with a weak one, it's inflammable. It's not ignitable. And to create, to train, to be the you need to be for the relationships you want, man, when you do that and it's clicking, it's going to be fire. But you got to figure out the type of person you want to be. And you can begin taking small steps. It's really important. It starts with your identity. I know that sounds strange. That's why I love the book Atomic Habits. I reference it a lot. James Clear tells a story about a friend who lost over 100 pounds by asking herself, and these are the questions, what would a healthy person do? All day long, she would use this question as a guide. Would a healthy person walk or take a cab? Would a healthy person order a burrito or a salad? She figured if she acted like a healthy person long enough, eventually she would become that person. She was right. And I'm going to tell you right now, I use the same concept. I'm right now down about 50 pounds. See, the concept of identity-based habits is our first introduction to the key theme of feedback loops. Our habits shape our identity, and our identity shapes our habits. It's a two-way street. It's called a feedback loop. It's important to let our values, principles, and identity drive the loop rather than results. The focus should always be on becoming the type of person not getting a particular outcome. And this is why habits matter. Identity change is the North Star of habit change. The true question is, are you becoming the type of person you want to become? The first step is not what or how, but who. You need to know who you want to be. Otherwise, your quest for change is like a boat without a rudder. You have the power to change your beliefs about yourself. Everything we do or do not do is driven by belief system. Those beliefs become the chemical igniter or the diffuser or something that waters it down so it won't light. Your identity is not set in stone. You have a choice. I have a choice. Who are you? Who are you becoming? I am. See, you can choose the identity you want to reinforce today, the habits you choose. This brings us to deeper purpose. I love this quote. Who was it? It was by James Clear. He says, building better habits isn't about littering your day with life hacks. It's not about flossing one tooth each night or taking a cold shower each morning or wearing the same outfit each day. It's not about achieving external measures of success like earning more money, losing weight, or reducing stress. Habits can help you achieve all of those things, but fundamentally, they are not about having something. They are about becoming someone. Isn't that powerful? If we are going to become the person we want to be, if we are going to train for the relationships we want, then we're going to have to take a look at our habits. Not only does that mean getting rid of old patterns, old habits that don't get us close to the person that is successful in the relationships we want. We also need to create some new habits, some new patterns that help us do what a person that has the successful relationships you want does. There's a cycle, and that cycle is known as the habit loop. If we remember how we work and the science of habits, then we can create the environment to act like the person we are becoming, to have the relationships we desire. The habit cycle, I've talked about it before. The habit cycle is a four-step process. It's not something that happens occasionally. It's an endless feedback loop. It's running. It's active every moment we are alive. The brain is continually scanning our environment, predicting what will happen next, wanting to figure out different responses and learning from the results. It's processing. We have a processor. The entire process is completed in a split second. There's a process, a pattern for creating good habits and for removing habits you don't want. And it is consistent with the same four steps either way. How do you create a good habit? Well, you take the four pieces. You got a cue, you got a craving, you got a response, you got a reward. So if you want to create a good habit in your environment, you got to find cues and then make them obvious. Those cues will create a craving. We got to make it attractive if you want to create a good habit. And then you got a response to that, make it attractive, and you got to make that response, make it easy, make it something easy you can do. And then the fourth law is you got to give yourself a reward for doing it, make it satisfying. Now, how do you break a bad habit? You just invert those four pieces. Again, with a cue, if there's a cue in a habit you do right now, you want to stop that habit so you can put yourself in a better position to have those relationships you want. Well, figure out what the cue is that makes you do the bad thing and make it invisible. And then what you do is you do your best to make the craving unattractive, what you used to crave that made you, make it unattractive. And then the response, make it hard to do what you've done in the past. Remove things from your environment if you struggle with them and put good stuff in your environments that will help you do different things. And lastly, for the reward, if you want to get rid of a bad habit, make it unsatisfying. And if you want to create a good one, make it enjoyable. Make it something that's very satisfying. The four laws of behavior change apply to every field. And these laws can be used no matter what we are facing. How can I make something obvious? How can I make it attractive? How can I make it easy? And how can I make it satisfying? As you create the environment that allows for the behavior that supports the identity that you need to be to train for relationships you want. Again, we're not running. It's not about physical exercise, but we got to train our thinking. Inside of us is the power to achieve the life, character, and vision that we want. This is why I do what I do. Go to wayofwarrior.training. I train you. I create an environment where you learn how you function, how you operate. You are a triune creature. You have a body. It's a machine. You got to know the machine, how we make ourselves sick, how we get ourselves excited. And then you got to know how the mind runs the body. But you are not the body, you're not the mind. There's a spiritual element to you. Whether you believe in a personal God or not, there's something above you. It's time to train yourself for the relationships you want. And we got to do it through our thoughts. Our thoughts shape our actions. Our actions create the environment that's conducive to this path, to learn this path of success. Because let's be honest, when you live your life like it matters, when you train for the relationships you want, when you create the environment that allows for the behavior that supports the identity, now you're on fire, baby. It's just about commitment. Once we commit to who we are, then what to do is much easier. Now let's create the environment that allows us to burn, baby, burn, and have the relationships we desire. Go to wayofwarrior.training, and we can help you create a fire in your life and prepare you for the relationships you want.
You have been listening to Mr. Black, Master Trainer for Like It Matters. Please find us on Facebook by searching LIM Radio. Make sure to follow us, like our posts, and share with others. Also, search YouTube for Like It Matters. Be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. And for more information on how we can help you live life like it matters, go to likeitmatters.net, where you can find more information on our transformational training, our life coaching, counseling, our radio show, and other ways we help you continue the journey of living life like it matters.